Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today at the Growing Home Together podcast. As the mom of five kids, it is fascinating to me to watch Rob's influence over the people that they are becoming. So our daughter Emma, for example, is a newlywed. And I know that because Rob was a gentle and understanding father, she was attracted to her husband, who is also kind and patient and careful with her feelings. And Rob is also a creative dreamer. So our other daughter has never questioned her own passion for painting and drawing. And right now she's working toward a degree at art college. And I see that Rob's humor, his sarcasm, right, Rob? His faith, his love for travel, his work ethic, all these things have shaped our kids so much over the years.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that encouragement, Joanna, but I can tell you from firsthand experience as a dad that none of us are perfect, and we get our priorities out of order and fail to meet our kids' emotional needs sometimes. And as a foster and adoptive parent, I know that children who suffer through neglect and abandonment or abuse, those hurts can impact their life. And today's guest, Kia Stevens, is here to help us understand the damage of father wounds and how healing can be found in the love of our Father God.
Yes, we are so excited to welcome Kia Stevens today. She is a wife and mom, an author and communicator through her ministry, The Father Swap, where she's passionate to help women know God as Father. And we're also excited about her upcoming book, Overcoming Father Wounds. And we just know that she is going to encourage all of us so much today. So thank you for joining us, Kia.
Thank you for having me, Rob and Joanna. It's an honor to be here.
Well, hey, could you help us get to know you better and share a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. I, as you mentioned earlier, I'm a mom of two. We just entered the middle school age, so pray for me. It's been very eye-opening and been a roller coaster ride. And then I have a fifth grader. My husband and I, we've been married for 17 years. And so I started writing, I guess, in 2015-ish. And I've been on another roller coaster ride myself, just writing and speaking and trying to hang on by the seat of my pants and follow God wherever he leads me. So that's a little bit about me, about my family life.
Well, that's great, because I was going to actually, that leads into what I was going to ask. As far as ministering to women with father wounds, you've been doing that for quite some time now. So my question for you was, how did you find yourself speaking into the lives of women with father wounds?
Sure. Well, I found myself with a void. I discovered this issue in my life. I was probably in high school, and I didn't understand why I was feeling so needy, feeling like I always had to have a relationship. I always had to have a boy in my life. And I started writing this book in high school called The Void. And I was writing it in college. And then when I got out of college and got married, I was still working on this book. And about year five of my marriage, I got some counseling and began to look at the role a father plays in the life of his daughter and determined that this book was going to be about the absence of a father in a daughter's life. And so I was working and researching and asking people questions and telling them what I was going to do and all of this and that. And then in 2014, I think, I discovered She Speaks, and I was going to go and pitch my book to an editor or a agent, and I was going to get published because that's how quickly it happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
And right before I was able to go to that conference, I was in a meeting. I was a classroom teacher. I taught for 15 years, and I was getting ready to transfer my laptop over to a desk so I could have this meeting. And my external hard drive, which is the only place that I have my manuscript, about 60 pages, and all of my research that I had been gathering from television broadcasts and books and everything, everything was on this external hard drive. And when I went from my desk, my teacher desk, to a little kid's desk, the external hard drive slipped out and fell onto the floor. And it was in that moment that I knew I lost everything. And sure enough, I had. When I went to plug that external hard drive in, it made a sound I had never heard before. And my husband and I, we went through all the things. We contacted a data recovery center, and it was going to cost way more than we had to allot to that. And so I went into this kind of depression because I had lost all my content. And that book had really been with me for about a decade. Mm-hmm. And I felt passionate that God wanted me to write this book for women with father wounds. And a friend of mine, she reached out to me around my birthday and was like, what are you going to do to celebrate your birthday? And I said, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to survive. I was just so depressed and sad about this book. And she said, you know, you should still go to that conference. And everything that you researched, everything that you studied, everything that you wrote, it's still on the inside of you. And so you should put it into a blog. You should turn it into a blog. And that's exactly what she did. It is really the best thing that could have happened to me, because what I didn't realize is that if you're going to write about this subject, you really need to engage with women that you believe God is calling you to. You shouldn't just come out of nowhere and say, I have this book for women with father wounds, and you haven't engaged with them. You haven't counseled them, you haven't encouraged them, you haven't cried with them. And so that's what the blog gave me an opportunity to do. I was going to call it something like the Father Exchange, and my husband said, that's lame. It's like, that's lame. So I was like, okay. And he said, why don't you call it the Father Swap? And I took him up on it because it's a little edgy. But if there is a woman with a father wound and you say father swap, she's probably going to think twice about it. She's probably going to say, well, how can you do that? How can I get one? I need one. I've even had someone to say that to me. But the idea behind the blog is not to swap your father like with wife swap, but to exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. And that is something that I don't think I had fully done when I first started the blog. But through the course of writing and encouraging and counseling and you know, responding to emails, God has done that in my life. I can really say I've exchanged my father wounds for the love of God the Father.
Mm, that's so good. Well, I know for me, one of my all-time favorite marriage books is called How We Love. And the authors state in there that our experiences growing up, good and bad, left a lasting imprint in our souls that determined our beliefs and expectations about how to give and receive love. And in your experience, working with these women you're talking about who have suffered from father wounds, how do you see those hurts impacting us in our adult relationships?
Sure. Well, definitely when you look at male-female relationships or romantic relationships or non-romantic relationships, I have a running survey that I keep on my blog. And so it asks the women, how have you been impacted by the absence of your father? And so that area of romantic relationships, hands down, is one of the top survey responses. And I would attribute it to the reality that your father is the first man that you have in your life. He lays the foundation and the groundwork for how we should interact with the opposite sex. And so when the father is absent, we kind of fumble around in the dark trying to turn the lights on and figuring things out on our own, often with devastating results, which is why you so often see the statistics of teenage girls without fathers being being prone to become teenage mothers or to engage in sexual activity early, because oftentimes women are looking for the affirmation, the validation, the attention of a man that we did not receive from our fathers. And so that carries on into marriage. You can find yourself in a marriage trying to get your husband to fulfill needs and voids that were never meant to be fulfilled by a husband, that a husband is just not capable of doing. Of course, we're supposed to get our needs met from God, but you can find yourself in this vicious cycle of trying to eke out of someone what they don't have to give. Am I pretty? Am I smart? Did I do a good job here? Or, you know, just looking to be validated. And that can lead to the end of a marriage. That could lead to difficulties in the marriage or a struggling marriage. And then from there, many of the women will say either they have father wounds, and now their children have father wounds because they potentially hooked up with someone that wasn't capable of loving them in the way that they needed to be loved and wasn't capable of fathering. And then you have this cycle that continues. This is something that I saw in my own life. I saw me replacing the angst that I had with my father, the anger, the frustration I had with my father, it came out and I directed it towards my husband. And so I had to get a lot of counseling. I'm a shout out to counseling. I'm a firm believer of counseling to begin to unpack my behaviors, unpack my beliefs that were driving my actions, mm-hmm. to examine why am I doing the things that I'm doing, and how is it related to traumatic childhood experiences, or how is it related to the absence of a parent? Not in the sense that you wanna blame the parent, but you do wanna get to the root of your behavior and your actions.
That's a really good challenge for us today. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I know, I think on various levels, a lot of us have to deal with this. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a conference with my dad, a work conference, and this was close to his retirement. And I had a great dad, but a younger gentleman came up to me, probably about the age I was at the time, and he was telling me how much my dad had impacted his life and how encouraging he was and how he had encouraged him in business and personal life and, you know, his career and all these things. And as proud of my dad as I was, it also kind of opened a little bit of a father wound, I guess, as you would say, because he had traveled so much over the years that I realized he was able to pour into this gentleman in a way that he couldn't with me if he, you know, as that he would have if he was at home. And so, and it really also forced me to look at myself as a father and the choices I made. So, you know, I put the relationship with my kids as a priority. Yeah. So how would you say your father wounds affected you and how you related with your boys?
I think that it made me cognizant, like you said, Rob, that of my parenting and how it will impact them as when they become fathers. It made me want to give them an opportunity to cry if they need to. It made me also want to take a step back and let my husband take the lead, you know, so that I'm not mothering them to a fault. I think it also made me want to be very honest with my kids, you know, and so because of some of the challenges that my father has had in his life, we've been very brutally honest about how it's impacted me, how it's impacted our family, and why we want them to make different decisions in their life. We've talked about the breakdown of the family. We've talked about what happens with the absence of a father in a child's life, so much so that if we see someone on television that has a father wound, or if we just hear about it on the news or something, one of my children will say, "Oh, they need the father swap," or they need your book, Mom, because we've just had conversations about it. And I think it's important that we do have conversations with our children as it relates to the brokenness we see in our families, because I think it can help to break the generational cycle and help them to make better decisions when it's their time to find a spouse and settle down and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So I love the way you reference your ministry and calling it the father swap. And I know when I first heard that a long time ago, I thought, wow, that's kind of a complicated idea when we're saying that a relationship with a heavenly father that we can't see can actually be a source of healing in a broken relationship that we can experience here in our tangible life. And I was hoping you could just explain just a little bit more about why that's possible.
Sure. And I've had women to challenge me on this. One of the arguments that I have back is that if we're saying to a woman, "Oh, I'm sorry you have father wounds, there's not really any source of encouragement or hope that I can offer you," then that's going to put a whole generation of women, it's going to leave them hopeless, because it's just so final. It's so final. But I think God speaks a lot about the fatherless in the Bible. And when I say fatherless, I'm not just referring to women who grew up without their father physically being present. I'm also talking about if your father was physically or emotionally abusive, if your father was an alcoholic, if your father was addicted to drugs, if your father was physically present but emotionally absent. I wanted to offer hope for women like that, to include if your father was incarcerated. And so what I've discovered is that, no, our idea of fathers taking your daughter on a daddy-daughter date, or calling you up and saying, "How are you doing today?" or walking you down the aisle, or different concepts that we have, the way that we interpret what a father should do in the life of his daughter, no, God is not going to physically come and walk your daughter down the aisle, or he's not going to take you on a daddy-daughter date. But what God can do is that empty space that was left vacant by the absence of a father, God can fill that over time, to the point where you are so secure that the absence of the father, of what you missed, what you lack, does not have a dominant impact in your life. And that's what I've seen in my own life. I discovered this once. I spent many years complaining about what God couldn't do and telling God, "You can't do this in my life. And if you can supply one person with a loving and caring, compassionate father, then why couldn't I get one? And this isn't fair. And I'm not happy with you. I'm upset with you." I stayed in that place for 2 to 3 years. And I remember getting some more counseling. I've had a ton of counseling and just really hashing this issue out with the counselor. It was actually through my church. And we got to a chapter in this book that helped you to renew your mind. The book focused on that passage in Romans 12 and 1 that says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so you're supposed to take your old thought patterns and begin to renew your mind with scripture. And so this particular chapter was focusing on God as Father, and you were evaluating the type of father that you had and how that could impact your view with God. And so this was the first time that I really began to think about this. But the book was saying, if you had a dominant or a dictator type father, you can view God as that. If you had a distant or an absent father, you might view God as that. If you had a father that was attentive and loving, then you might view God as that. And so I began to realize, one, I was viewing God as distant because that's the type of father that I had. But that didn't mean that that was who God was. And I needed to get to know who God was. And so then there was a ton of scriptures that focused on his attributes and scriptures that really defined God as Father for me. And I began to look at those, and I still have, to the point where I've discovered so many different attributes about who God really is, that are not impacted by what he allowed in my life, that he allowed me to grow up without my father. That doesn't mean that he's not accessible, loving, patient, kind, sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all these things that God is. And so during my life, while I was still going through this curriculum at my church, there was a dominant need that I had in my life. I was a teacher. I shared that I was a teacher for 15 years, and I had stepped out on faith big and told my students, I worked in a low socioeconomic environment, and I told my students, I had two schools, that I was going to take them on a domestic trip. We were going to go someplace in state. And so we had no money, and I do mean $0. And I was asking God for a specific sum. I kept saying this sum amount. It was over $5,000. And I would ask God every single day for that amount of money. And I remember doing that for months and not seeing anything come in. And I was still wrestling. I was still wrestling with God. Are you this God that this book is saying you are, that the Bible says that you are? Are you really a good father? And not, I don't know if it was 2 weeks out or 1 week out or how many weeks out, a community member came in and said, everybody's going to go on the trip. And I was like, okay, wow, you know. Okay. But when I got that check in hand, and it was for the exact amount that I had been praying for months, for me, it was like that scripture in Matthew that says how much more if your father asks for if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? How much more will your heavenly father do for you? And just the specificity of my ask and the specificity of what I received, it spoke to me. It spoke volumes. And it was like a breaking point where all of that anger and all that rage that I had directed at God and all of that energy that I was using to say, you can't, you can't, you can't, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair, it kind of broke in me. And I began to embrace this idea of, yes, God can father me. It may look different, but he can father me. And so that's kind of was my first journey. What I would say to someone who's still kind of in that place of he can't, he can't, he can't, and that's unrealistic, it doesn't make sense, I would challenge them and say, well, try God. I would challenge you to pray and say, God, if this is possible, if it's true that you could be a good father, prove it. I really would say that, you know, God, what I've discovered is not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our attitude. He's not moved by our doubt. God is God, and he can handle it, and he will prove it. I'm that confident that I would say that on this podcast. You know, God is able to be a father, a heavenly father. It won't look the same as a natural father, but a heavenly father.
I love that. And I think to continue the story I was telling earlier, and to your reference, I love how you explain that it may look different, but we can still ask God and taste and see that he's good, so to speak, and that he can meet mm-hmm. our needs in the ways we need. I know for me, as I kind of went on that journey after I had that, came home from that, the story where I felt like that wound was opened. I walked around with that for a while, and I could tell I was reacting to my dad in a different way because of that. But what was really great is God, over time, released me from that. And he started having me look at things through my dad's eyes, who had his own wounds and had his own challenges and was trying to provide in the only way he knew how. And so I just remember that process of me just forgiving my dad. And just in forgiving him, it totally changed our relationship. He didn't necessarily know it, but I could tell I was approaching him differently, and somehow inwardly, I think he could too. And it freed us to have a relationship. And my dad was a great guy. He was funny. There was all these things, but I just saw a change in our relationship, and forgiveness was a huge part of that. And so he didn't necessarily change or even know there was anything going on in our conversations, but somehow me being able to forgive him freed me to enjoy my relationship with him in a different way. And that, and I think he felt the weight of that, maybe guilt he was carrying around being gone so much or something. And it changed the dynamic of our relationship those next years, until he passed away. And so I do think, just in your challenge too, that yes, it may look different. The healing that God brings may be different, but it can come. So,
mm-hmm. Definitely. I really like that you talked about the role of forgiveness. I'm thinking about another counseling, I've got so many counseling stories, but another counseling visit that I had, and the counselor was saying, you know, have you written a letter to your father? A forgiveness letter. And a forgiveness letter, it's just a technique that's used in counseling where you write this letter out to the person that you need to forgive. And then you compare that with putting the person in an open chair, the invisible person in the open chair, and reading that letter to them. And so she was saying that, and I was like, you know, I haven't done that. He wasn't there. I don't have anything to forgive. And when I sat down to write this letter, oh my goodness, the waterworks came, because I was like, wow, that I was talking about all the different ways that his absence impacted me. And I was doing this chronologically, like going through elementary, middle, high school, and all the times and places where I wanted him to be there. And by the time I got through it, by the time I had written it out, I had a hard time just reading it out loud. It took me like 2 or 3 days to get through it. But that was kind of the process that began my forgiveness journey. And that's one of the things that I talk about often, you know, because if you don't forgive your father for what he's done to you, it's not going to, it will impact your father, your relationship with him, but it's more so going to impact you. Sure. We were not designed as people to walk around carrying unforgiveness and bitterness. We were designed to be free of that. Jesus died for that. And so that is, that's so key. I think forgiveness, and people might be saying, well, how am I supposed to do it? You know, and my suggestion is to forgive with your mouth, to make a conscious decision to forgive, and then commit to reminding yourself that, no, self, we made a conscious decision to forgive when it comes back up. But then to ask the Holy Spirit to help your heart and your mind to follow suit. It's two parts. Forgiveness is a supernatural work. It's a modern day manifestation of God, the miraculous works of God, to be able to forgive people for some of the things that they do. But with our participation, with our willingness to forgive, to commit to that, God is able to do what seems impossible. He's done that in my heart. And I think when you do that, then you can begin to, like you said, Rob, look at our fathers, not as our fathers, but as people. And people are flawed. We're all flawed. We can want to point the fingers at our dad and say, you did, and you weren't. But there are places in our lives where we did and we weren't. And we are just as much in need of the grace and the salvation and the mercy of God as our dads are. Mm. And I think when I made that change in my life, where I was able to just say, you know what, this is who my dad is. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not condoning his actions or his behavior. I'm not justifying it. I'm just dealing with the facts. This is reality. When I began to do that, then God freed me up not to come to him with open hands saying, I need this from you. I need you to affirm me, to validate me, to do all these things. But I was actually able to give to my dad out of what I had received from the Lord. And to this day, you know, I was literally a couple of months ago just thanking God for the relationship that I have with my dad. Is it perfect? No. Is it ideal? No. But in its own way, it's beautiful. It's beautiful because God did it. God restored my heart. God enabled me to forgive. God knit together what was ripped away by sin. So I, you know, that's almost a prerequisite to exchange your father wounds. You have to be willing to forgive. You have to give them up. You have to hand them over to God and say, I'm not going to pick these back up. I'm not going to say, well, he did. And no, self, I made a commitment to forgive. I'm going to maintain that. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to remind myself as much as it takes that I have made a commitment to forgive my father.
Hey there, friends. We'll get back to the show in just a second, but I'm excited to tell you about a wonderful marriage resource that Rob and Joanna have for you. Rob and Joanna Tigan have been married for almost 30 years and have experienced every kind of high and low in their life together. But if they had to name the biggest lesson they've ever learned as a married couple, it's that a close relationship with God helps them have a close relationship with each other. And on the flip side, if they move farther away from God, they are sure to experience a growing distance from each other too. That's why they are so passionate to help couples draw closer to God and each other every day. Rob and Joanna have created a powerful tool for you to use in your marriage. It's called Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples. This gorgeous book gives you an inspiring scripture, a word of teaching and encouragement, and a prayer to lift up together every day of the year. The daily topics cover every part of your life together, whether it's financial or parenting stress, conflict or communication, or the intimacy and oneness you're longing to grow between you. Now, today you may be feeling distant or discouraged. Maybe your faith has been tested by the stress of this past year, or maybe you're feeling lonely and unsupported in your relationship. It's incredible how connecting with God and each other through a daily devotional can transform your marriage and give you hope. You can find Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. Check out the link in the show notes for easy access to the book on Amazon. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, that's good. And I think, you know, sometimes in that process, it's hard to remember that, you know, forgiveness and reconciliation aren't always the same thing, you know.
Right.
Forgiveness, one person, it takes one person to forgive, you know, but it takes two people to reconcile. And, you know, you hope for reconciliation, but that, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, Jesus on the cross said, forgive them for they know not what they do. And I think you're right that to really move forward in healing and even understanding fully how much God's love can meet those needs, those father wounds, there needs to be a process of forgiveness. So that's really good.
I'm so glad you said that too, Rob. Forgiveness is just a relinquishing of our right to hold another person responsible for the wrong that they've caused us. That's all that it is. It is not condoning, justifying, accepting, or denying. It's none of that. It's just relinquishing our right because looking at our right and looking at what the world says to do, we can steep ourselves in cement and get on our, you know, pulpit and say, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong. And they probably were wrong. They, you know, the world would say you're justified in being angry. You're justified in wanting to vindicate yourself and getting even and refusing to accept the phone call and refusing to send a card. You're justified. But forgiveness is relinquishing that right. To hold another person responsible for the wrong that they've done to us. That's all that it is. And sometimes in forgiving, as you mentioned, reconciliation may not be possible. You know, if your father is an addict, it might not be healthy. If your father is, you know, abusive, it might not be healthy. You might not even be able to connect with your father in order to forgive him in person. It might be something that you do alone with God, but it is something that can be done.
Yeah, I know. Something that Rob and I talk to each other about pretty often is just this really strong connection between our relationship with God and our relationship with the people in our life. And the stronger our relationship is with the Lord, like in our marriage, our relationship with each other is always greatly impacted. And as God brings healing and pours out his love into us, you know, for those of us who may be dealing with father wounds, that's going to end up positively impacting our human relationships too. And so we were just kind of hoping you could speak into that. What would you tell a woman today whose father wounds are maybe putting up barriers to her experiencing a healthy marriage?
Sure. I would say to her to have an honest conversation with God. You know, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He's gentle. He's not going to force you. He's not going to say, you need to deal with this. But if we invite the Holy Spirit into our life to shine a light on those dark places, those places that we kind of just sweep under the rug, I don't want to deal with this, or it's too painful. If we invite the Holy Spirit into those areas and we say, Holy Spirit, do I have father wounds? And can you heal me of them? Can you point me in the direction of assistance, of help? I believe that he will do just that. This podcast might be your step one, listening to this podcast. We're going to share some resources at the end of this time. That might be your step two. If your church has some resources available, that might be your step three. So I think the first step is just the honest conversation about you with God. And God is so faithful. If you ask him, if you ask him to reveal to you the areas that are broken, he will show them to you. I am a living witness. I have a truckload of brokenness that I've been shown throughout the years. And, I think from there, you know, just be open to God's leading. It's this work is when you begin to look at your traumatic childhood experiences or your childhood wounds or just the relationship you have with your parent, and you begin to unpack that and unpack your current behavior, it can be very difficult. It can be depressing, you know, but when we are yielded to God, when we have, you know, maybe enlist the support of a professional counselor, this journey can be so rewarding and so healing, and it can impact and change all of your relationships, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with others. It's certainly done that in my life, where no longer are we looking to blame our fathers for the lives that we have or our spouses for the lives that we have, but we're looking introspectively at our own behavior and asking God, where do I need to change? Where do I need to grow? How does my perspective need to be different? When we begin to do that, we will see life transformation in a major way. And the other thing I want to say, just going back to that area of forgiveness, you really kind of want to have a 360 view. So sometimes as it relates to forgiveness and father wounds, the people that we need to forgive is ourselves. We may need to forgive ourselves for the way we responded to the absence of our father, for some of those relationships that we got in, for some of our attitudes and our mindsets. We may need to forgive ourselves. But then another entity that we often may not think about is God. We may have anger towards God because of what he has allowed in our lives. We may need to forgive God. And God is not someone that is afraid or moved or bothered by us if we have unforgiveness towards him. And I think doing some of those things, looking introspectively, seeing where you need to forgive is key. And finally, you know, I just want to bring up Joseph in the Bible in Genesis, because I'm currently studying Genesis and just really looking at Joseph. I'm at the end of the book now in chapter 45, where he finally reveals to his brothers that I'm Joseph. Joseph has been kind of engaging with his brothers. They came looking for food, for grain. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize that he was the brother that they had dropped into a cistern and eventually sold into slavery. And so in chapter 45, he reveals, I am Joseph. And then he tells them, you know, you were intending to harm me, but God meant it for the preservation of many lives. And I really love that. I liken myself to Joseph in a small, on a small scale, very small scale, in the sense that my father wounds were something that I could not control. I did not choose this. I did not sign up for it. It was not something that I wanted. And it felt so unfair and so unjust and so difficult and so painful. And the consequences of it felt so great. But now when I look at it, I can see how God meant it for the saving of many lives. I mean, I have a blog post and I've done a podcast. I'm doing one right now. I have a book coming out, and that's going to encourage so many other women who have felt the way I've felt or who just need a little hope, a little encouragement. And that's the same for whoever's listening. If you're listening and you're saying things have been so unfair and so unjust and just really frustrated with God, when you're able to step away and gain some perspective that God will give you, you'll see that what God has allowed in your life was not meant to harm you and to hurt you, but it was meant for the saving of many lives. There are people that are attached to our healing, to our deliverance, to our press, to our fight to be whole and to think right thoughts. There are people, it could be people in our families, could be our neighbors, it could be church members, it could be women in a Bible study or men in a Bible study, people we have not met yet that will be impacted by our healing journey. So that's one final thought that I would just add to a woman who you can't see it right now because you're so steeped in the sorrow of it all. But there is something else on the other side of that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And I think to your point that if, you can take those anger feelings to God, I mean, if the Psalms is a great place to start, because there's no emotion, that you could have had or could have that isn't expressed or displayed in the Psalms. as far as taking those feelings of hurt and anger and things to God and dealing with those, all of that is so, so great. And I'm just wondering real quick, you know, I wish there was a school, a father school for dads, because it feels like training from the minute you hold your kids. So would you have some encouragement for dads, or what steps can dads take that are, you know, desire to be a godly dad and encouraging dad, but don't know what to do? Maybe they didn't have that example, or maybe there's woundedness and they don't know how to approach their kids. Do you have any ideas on steps they can take?
You know, I've been asked this question so much, and I really don't provide resources for fathers, but I think there is the Fatherhood Initiative. I believe that is a national organization, the National Fatherhood Initiative, that is a resource for dads, excuse me. And I know if you Google search, you know, there should be some information, but the most that I know about being a dad comes from probably watching my husband. And I think some of the greatest moments he's had with our kids is just the moments when he's been humble, you know, when he's been honest, when he said, I don't have all the answers, or I don't know, when he's prayed with our kids, when he's encouraged our kids. Those are things that you can do without a school. You just have to live humbly and honestly before them. And I think God will do the work. Definitely pray. You know, the Bible says if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask. And I think definitely if you need wisdom as it relates to a father, ask God and he will direct you.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know our listeners have been so encouraged by what you've shared today, and just these steps and words of encouragement you've given. Could you tell us how we can connect with you online to learn more and tell a little bit more about your new book, maybe?
Sure. You can find all things Kia Stevens at KiaStevens.com. You can find all my socials. There's a link in the menu to the Father Swap blog, and any of my current writings will be on that site. I write for Proverbs, I Believe, and Beloved Women currently. So you can find everything you want to know about Kia Stevens at KiaStevens.com. And that's Stevens with a PH and not a V.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to say, as we've been talking this whole time, I have this memory in my mind when I was a lot younger mom. Like everybody, because no one has a 100% perfect father, I was really stuck in my head and like fixated on some of the father wounds that I was carrying. And I remember just crying out to God over and over. And my general attitude was, I want you, and I want a father who looks like this and behaves like this and talks like this and thinks like this. And I can't be okay if I don't have you. And it was as close to an audible voice as I've ever heard in time with the Lord. And he's like, Joanna, isn't my love enough for you? Why do you need me? And when we're thinking about this idea of father swap, I realize it's not an equal exchange, you know, because God's love is better than any love from any relationship that we will ever know. And I think he started to really reveal that to me, how his love really is more than we could ever imagine. And for those who might be listening today who are just feeling empty and need that kind of love from God, I was hoping that you could just lift them up in prayer right now. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure. God, first of all, I just thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have left your word as a love letter for those of us that need it. We all need it, Father. And in your word, you say, cast all of your anxiety on the Lord, for he cares for you. God, there's so many scriptures where you are reminding us that you love us, that you love us lavishly, God. And so I pray for the woman who feels the furthest from you, the woman who is steeped in her wounds and her hurt and her frustration about her lot in life, God, that you would heap lavished love all upon her, God, that she would be overwhelmed, God, by your presence, by your goodness, by who you are, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would give her courage, Lord Jesus, to address her father wounds, not to deny or dismiss or ignore or sweep them under the rug, God, but to do the work that Holy Spirit, you might be doing right now, God. I pray, Father, that she would have clarity in terms of what direction to go into, God, what resource to pick up, to seek out, what counselor to talk to, God, if that's what she needs, God. And I pray, Lord, as she takes one step, you would take 15, God. You would do immeasurably more than she could ask or imagine. God, I pray for hope, Father, for the person that is hopeless, that is discouraged, that has given up, that wants to quit, that doesn't think you love or care about them at all, God. I am praying, Lord, that you would use this podcast to give them hope, to give them fight, to cause them to see that this is not a period on their journey, but a comma, Lord, that you are able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. You take beauty, you form beauty, God, from our ashes, Lord. So I pray for the person on the other end of this podcast that they would do the exchange. They would exchange their wounds for your love, their ashes for your beauty, God. And I ask that they would know joy in exchange for sorrow, God. I know you're capable, God. I know you're able, Father. Do what only you can, God. And I thank you in advance for the healing and the life change and the transformation that will come from this podcast. I ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kia, and helping us to understand the impact of fatherhood and God as Father to all of us. And thank you, friends, for joining us today at the Growing Home Together podcast. We'd love to connect with you over on our website, growinghometogether.com, where we have books like our Father-Daughter Date Book and our conversation cards, free resources like our marriage devotional, and activities to share with your kids. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And we're growing home together with you. Bye-bye.
Bye.